Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to hour two of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck here with my man Clay. I'm going to be joining him in Nashville next week, so we're going to have some fun in person together there. We are going to be covering a whole lot the rest of the show, including I just saw on Fox, a defense official to Fox, that Kabul could fall as soon as tomorrow, which seems unbelievable, but people are saying some pretty outlandish stuff right now. I couldn't believe I even saw that on the Chiron on the screen. But we'll tell you about some leaked audio about the border as well. But first, we have our friend Alex Berenson with us now. You all know him as the author of Unreported Truths About COVID-19, a series you can get online. Also, go to his Substack. Please subscribe, because if he gets kicked off of Twitter, you're not going to know how to find his stuff. Alex, great to have you back.
Thank you last week I was on. Fortunately, my Twitter unlocked my account, and I've managed to stay afloat this week. I'd like to say I haven't censored myself at all, but that is not entirely true, and I'm still exploring what I'm going to do. But yes, please get on the Substack. A lot of people still haven't heard of what that is, but it is a newsletter platform, and it is uncensored, at least for now, and it's really good. My Substack is just my name. Called Unreported Truths, but if you put my name in, Alex Berenson, you can find it. So I apologize for, promoting it so aggressively, but I do worry that Twitter is going to, I only have one strike left.
Tell us all right now, what's going on, man? We have all this pressure on Florida and Texas in particular. People are saying record cases, hospitals overwhelmed, ventilators being sent to DeSantis, all this stuff. How are we? What's true? What's not? What's happening with the vaccines?
Okay, so there's a whole bunch of stuff happening. Florida and Texas have a lot of cases right now. They had a lot of cases last year at this time. This virus has tended to move seasonally. It's been very strong seasonal and geographic patterns. And all the people who are telling you vaccines are saving the Northeast and the Upper Midwest, give it a month. Okay. It's going to migrate. I think I said this to you last week. I don't love making, it was off air, but I don't love making categorical poll predictions, but I'm going to make this one. Okay. At this time in October, the Upper Midwest will have a surge of cases. It's absolutely going to happen. It happened last year. The vaccines are not going to prevent it. They've prevented nothing in Israel, and they've prevented nothing or very little in the UK, and they're going to prevent nothing in the Upper Midwest.
All right, I want to ask you, Alex, thanks for coming on with us, about Israel. I saw you just tweet out, and I may mess these numbers up a little bit because I jotted them down as I was doing the radio show, but 451 seriously ill with COVID hospitalizations going on right now in Israel. 266 of those 451 people have been fully vaccinated. That means roughly 60% of the people that are hospitalized right now with serious COVID issues in Israel are fully vaccinated. And by the way, last year, before the vaccines even existed, there were fewer people hospitalized in Israel. What's happened?
So just to correct one thing, there were not fewer. There were slightly more. If trends continue, within a few more days, there will be more vaccinated people hospitalized in Israel in 2021 in August. Then there were total people hospitalized in Israel in August 2020, assuming trends continue, and I do think they will continue. Certainly, the Israelis are very, very concerned that they'll continue. And they're talking about a variety of lockdown and mask measures that they'd eliminated because COVID was supposed to go away once you got really high vaccination rates.
Yes.
What is going on is that the vaccines are failing. Okay, I'm not allowed to say it that way openly on Twitter anymore, but I can say it to your audience. I can say it to you. The vaccines are failing. There's two possible reasons they're failing. One is time, that you get this burst of antibodies after the second dose when you're quote unquote fully vaccinated. Those antibodies don't last. They don't last that long if you get COVID naturally either. But what happens if you get COVID naturally is you have a broader immune response. Your T cells and your B cells, which are immune system cells that are responsible for long-term immunity, they're the reason why, you don't get measles decades after your measles vaccination. It's not because you have antibodies to measles circulating. It's because your T and B cells know how to recognize measles. The vaccines do not seem to produce a good response, at least in one very important form of T cell. So when your antibodies go away, your protection seems to go away. So that's one. That's one potential problem. The second potential problem is that the virus is mutating, right? So there's a Delta variant. The Delta variant is a real thing, and unfortunately, it appears that natural immunity provides broader protection against mutated variants than vaccine immunity. Now, the worst case scenario, which I have barely talked about because there's not strong evidence for it right now, and I don't want to freak people out, but a paper came out on Monday in a British journal, and it's a real British journal, suggesting that this is at least a theoretical possibility, is something called antibody-dependent enhancement. What that means is that the antibodies that you produce after being vaccinated, if the variant mutates in a specific, if the virus mutates in a specific way, might wind up actually not blocking the variant from entering your cells, but helping the variant to enter your cells. That is a very dangerous thing if it happens. Now, I want to be clear. This is not, we don't know this is happening. Everybody who's looked at the data for months has said this is not a high risk, but this new paper and the on the ground data in Israel, I think, are concerning enough that people should at least know about this.
Alex, I got a good friend who asked me this question, and I think it's a fantastic one. Why are Israel and England not looking the exact same right now? England has opened up. They also have a high vaccination rate. Is it because they have more natural immunity in England? Why would you explain the difference between the Israeli story right now and the English story? And is there any particular reason why you think America is going to be more like England or more like Israel?
That is a great question. I fear that the United States will be more like Israel. Now, there's a couple things. First of all, the data out of Israel is the best. The data out of England is a little bit confusing because they have a bit of a testemic going on, and they have had it over the summer, meaning there's a lot of cases that are asymptomatic. And they were doing these tests called lateral flow tests, which were very cheap and self-reported. And there were reasons actually to believe that, you know, for example, an 18-year-old who didn't want to go to school would just self-report a positive test in June. So some of that was happening. Okay, so the Israeli data is probably the best data. But more importantly than that is Israel used only an mRNA vaccine. They used only the Pfizer vaccine, and they used it on the correct, quote-unquote, correct schedule. So you got your first dose, and then you get your second dose 3 weeks later. England, the UK, used both the Pfizer vaccine and an AstraZeneca vaccine, which was supposed to be actually less potent, but maybe isn't less potent. We don't know, okay? And they used that Pfizer vaccine on a weird dosing schedule. So they were a little bit short on doses in the spring. So they were giving people one dose and then a second dose 8 to 12 weeks later. And so even though that wasn't, quote unquote, the correct regimen, there's now a little bit of evidence that it might actually work better, which is something else we did not know because we have rushed this so much.
Alex, what do you expect is going to happen here as the data rolls in this country over the next, let's say, 30 to 60 days? I mean, we're led to believe that all we have to do is get those vaccination numbers up and everything will be better. And anybody who's not going along with that, this is what all the mandates are rooted in, is, you know, a troglodyte who's a horrible person, who's ruining America, and, you know, the reason that people are still sick, all this stuff. But they're also talking about boosters already, Fauci, not like some, you know, crazy blogger somewhere. So what do you think is going to happen?
By the way, it's not just boosters. I mean, it's not just boosters for older immunocompromised people. Fauci said yesterday everyone was
going
to get boosters. So listen, I realize I sort of got lost in the weeds there about Israel and the UK, but the one sentence answer is I think the U.S. is going to be more like Israel. Okay, we only used mRNA vaccines and we used them on the correct schedule. Okay, and I think anybody who doesn't believe that in Israel in June, you could start to see this late June, early July, I was worrying about it. People were telling me I was an idiot. The cases were still so low. There were no deaths. I had no idea what I was talking about. That is all out the window. Okay. It's all out the window. Israel is headed for a bad month. Okay. At best, a bad month. And I don't understand anybody who thinks that's not going to happen in the U.S. And let me be totally clear. Israeli vaccination levels were basically the highest in the world. They were among the highest in the world, higher than the U.S. Okay, it's not
So when the Biden administration says, Alex, this is important, you know, 90, because I keep seeing these lab coat, you know, pundits going on TV now saying, you know, 99% of the people in our hospital are they're all unvaxxed. Like, we keep hearing this all the time.
It's a lie. I'm going to say it straight out. It's a lie. The data, again, we have a couple states that provide decent data. They show that, for example, in Oklahoma, about a quarter of the people in Oklahoma who were hospitalized in July were vaccinated. Okay, those numbers are going to go up. There's no reason they wouldn't go up. The human biology is the same in Israel as in the United States. The vaccines are going to fail in the United States just like they're failing in Israel. Okay, it's only a question of how badly they're going to fail. And when I came on with you guys last week, it looked bad. This week, it looks worse.
Can you come back with us for one more segment here, Alex, to answer a couple more questions?
I told your producer you guys were going to ask. Yes, of course, I can.
All right. Well, I just want to ask a couple more questions, because what you're telling us is something that I think is significant as we kind of work our way through it, which is that we are headed for a real mess, and that getting more people vaccinated is not going to solve it, which is the exact opposite of what the mainstream media is telling everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean there's just so much that doesn't add up right now. So we are going to keep Alex through for another one. Go, if you appreciate what he's doing here, folks, go subscribe to his Substack. I'm a big believer in actually supporting content creators, researchers, thought leaders directly these days as much as you can, because God knows when big tech is going to decide to crush them. All right, we'll come back with that and Alex Berenson here in just a moment on what's next with the vaccines, with COVID, with all of it. And perfect time to tell you, you know, you really do want to keep your immune system functioning as well as possible. That means getting exercise, means getting sunlight. And yes, it means getting the right mix of fruits and veggies in your diet. I mean, basic nutrition, you know, that's good for you, right? That's why Texas Superfood works so well for so many people. Texas Superfood is 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes meant to help your body's defenses from the inside out, help to boost your immune system's capabilities naturally. You know how your grandmother told you to eat fruits and veggies every day? But we're all busy. We got these crazy schedules, and with a lot of fast food, I just had some today, I'm not gonna lie. You know, we don't always get the fruits and veggies we need. Well, if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and vegetables, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to texassuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's texassuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We're talking with Alex Berenson. Want to dive right back into it. You're basically the Grim Reaper here, Alex. I want to ask one question to allow you to say something positive. Did you enjoy the game, the Field of Dreams game in the Iowa cornfield yesterday on Fox?
Oh, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right. Just want to make sure. I wanted you to be able to say something positive.
Now I'm going to take us back into the world of Alex is making us all pretty scared about what's going to happen, but we might as well know the truth now. And Alex, to that end, I mean, where are we with hospitalization shortage right now? I mean, there's a report that I'm just seeing from some guy, who's a blue check out of Tennessee. And he's in a, you know, one of these journos. He says, breaking from Tennessee, there are no beds in Middle Tennessee right now. Impossible to find a staffed ICU, ER, or medical surgery bed, according to the chief medical officer for Sumner Regional Medical Center. We've heard about this also in Austin, Texas. We've heard about this in Florida. What's true? Are they overwhelmed? How could they be overwhelmed when there's like a third the case rate nationally?
Well, it is regional. Okay, so this is what, look, we saw last summer, you know, Houston, Texas, and Houston's a giant metro area, right? There's 8 million people in Southeast Texas. You know, it came under pressure. You know, parts of Florida came under pressure last year. Pressure does not mean, you know, that you're going to, you know, if you get in a car accident, there's going to be no ICU bed for you. Okay. The hysteria, you know, overwhelms, or overruns what's really happening. It doesn't mean that like the hospitals aren't full, you know, and it doesn't mean that nurses and doctors and, you know, medical staff aren't working really hard. And it's sometimes you're going to want to try to bring in some, you know, some extra swing shifts and stuff. That's not the same thing as the medical, you know, as hospital collapse. Okay. And I will also say that it is clear after 18 months of this that these stories are typically written just at the peak. Okay, so they have been a very reliable sign that cases are going to start to decline. And you know, I mean, look, if cases don't start, if positive tests, you know, and hospitalization rates don't start to decline in Florida and Texas pretty soon, I would be surprised. I mean, again, this epidemic has made fools out of anybody who's made predictions for the last 18 months, but I would be surprised and I would be worried about that. Here, let me give you one data point, okay? So if you look at, you can look by state, see which states have the highest vaccination rates, okay? Outside of the Northeast, the three states with the highest vaccination rates are Washington, New Mexico, and Oregon. Okay. I would urge everyone listening to this to go type in Oregon COVID, to Google and see what has happened to COVID case rates there in the last 2 weeks. Okay. They are off the charts. The vaccines, it doesn't matter whether you're at 50% or 60% or 70%. You are not going to make a meaningful difference because the Israelis and the British got to 70.
New York City is going to get hit hard, for example, because like here in New York, we think we're the vaccine superstars. But you're telling me
New York may not get hit as hard because New York has a lot of natural immunity. Getting crushed right now is that Washington and Oregon State and Northern California were the places that somehow they've been the COVID miracle. They'd avoided getting hit really as hard as anywhere else in the United States. Guess what? It's all going to revert to the mean. Okay. It's going to happen. And, you know, again, I've typically been wary of making predictions, but I think the data out of Israel and the UK is so powerful right now not to make predictions off it is a form of cowardice.
Alex, what about kids? You may have seen me go talk on Tuesday about masks and kids. Are kids under a massively increased risk from the Delta variant based on the data that you're seeing?
No, that's another lie. Are they at risk of getting it more because it does seem to be somewhat more contagious? Yes. Are they at risk of severe outcomes from it? No, there's no evidence of that. And really, you know, if you go to the smart people on Twitter, they're pointing out right now the U.S. is in this hysteria about schools and nowhere else in the world is having that. Even countries that are having bad surges are well aware that kids are not at high risk or even medium risk or even, you know, low risk from getting really sick from COVID. I mean, obviously it can always happen, but that's, you know, if I have one piece of good news for people, Delta is not any more of a threat to your kids than earlier, you know, than the original wild type variant. And that was a very, very, very low risk for healthy kids.
Alex, man, we need to get you on weekly, I think, to continue to update
Alex Berenson,
unfortunately.
Segment.
But yeah, I mean, I really, really appreciate the time you're spending with us, man.
Yeah,
we'll
man.
Unpack
Thanks,
everything
Alex.
That Alex said when we come back and continue to discuss all these stories and more. It is Friday the 13th, after all. But we want to let you know that right now, Relief Factor can make an incredible difference in your life, and it's done for my wife already. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free product, which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Created by doctors based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps ensure that your body can reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. My wife uses this product. She loves it. It works for her. It can work for you. It goes right to the source of inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered it already. 70% order more. You can join the more than 500,000 people who have already ordered the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Here's what you need to do. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Relieffactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and my man Clay and I are breaking it all down for you today. A lot of news today. 800-282-2882, 800-282-2882. It is Open Line Friday, so we'll try to get to some calls end of this hour and certainly in the end of the next hour. We're also going to have a little more fun in the next hour, talk about movies, Friday the 13th, Field of Dreams, all kinds
of good
stuff.
It's Friday. We can't be all doom and gloom.
I mean, that Alex Berenson.
He's a Grim Reaper.
I want to talk about the latest update on Afghanistan, speaking about gloom and doom, and then also the border. So two catastrophes. But we got to deal with first here, Clay. I mean, Alex looks at the data, and I remember, because you and I both follow him. You and I have been talking to Alex now for over a year and a half. He was getting ridiculed in June for saying, guys, the Israeli data is concerning. And now the Israeli data is actually looking like something that is it's almost prophetic in looking at how this is going to play out in other places. But when he says straight up, they're lying to you, meaning the media is lying about this stuff. I mean, Clay, there's a news story right now on Mediaite's covering a CNN story where they have two anchors who are crying and a parent who's crying because there's a baby with COVID in the hospital. And they're saying, if you want to help, I mean, it's a horrible thing, right? I mean, sad baby, but there's a lot of emotional, impact meant to come from this. And it's get vaccinated or babies are going to be in the hospital. One in a million babies are going to be in the hospital from this.
Yeah. And look, what Alex is saying, and this is data based, right? I mean, he's not some, soothsayer. I mean, he's looking at the data and saying, and I tried to ask him directly, are we going to be more like England, where they saw a massive spike and then they're back down? Or are we going to be more like Israel? And I think he made a pretty good case that based on Israeli data, we are trending in a big way towards being like Israel. And I think it's important for people out there in the Northeast and the Midwest who are saying, oh, look at Florida, look at Texas. Remember, this is the way those cycles have worked, because Florida, when it gets super hot, everybody goes indoors, and that's when COVID spreads down there. When it gets more, normal temperature, which is what's going on in the Midwest and the Northeast right now, that is when Florida starts to decline and these other parts of the country skyrocket. And his point, I thought, was an interesting one, Buck, on Oregon, which is one of the most vaccinated countries in the entire nation. And they are seeing right now a skyrocketing rate of infection.
I did, right as he said, and I'm sure some people at home, and a lot of people listen to us driving the car, whatever. So safety first, right? Keep your hands on the wheel. But I did Google Oregon right as he said that. And yeah, there's all these news stories about Oregon's big case spike. Interesting, because you have to look for it. If you just had
it's
CNN
not the lead
on, like
story
we
on
do,
CNN.
All
no.
you'd see is Texas and Florida. Oregon has a big case spike. Hold on a second. Oregon's a very blue state with a high vaccination rate. Isn't that so interesting, Clay? So we got that. And I mean, look, I think it's, I know they're going to say Alex Berenson on the left and not even the left, just the sort of consensus media, the Democrat left media is going to say that, he's a quack or whatever, even though how many times has he been right already, right? I mean, he's not right all the time, but I think he's batting about, from his predictions that I've seen, 80%, maybe 90%. He's been pretty solid. And I got to tell you, man, that when he says they're lying about this only being a pandemic of the unvaccinated, he's not saying that it doesn't mean there's a disparity, but that
right.
there isn't a substantial piece of the current wave that are fully vaccinated individuals. That is, the word bombshell is being overused lately, but it's true. Is a bombshell.
We are being told by our government that if everybody was vaccinated, COVID would go away. You agree with that as the primary sales pitch right now from our government is
if everybody
has to be vaccinated,
then
it would go away.
If everybody would give up their vaccine hesitancy, COVID is zero is the belief that we are to have from the media. And it's clearly not true.
It's 100% false. And if we go down the pathway of Israel, what people are going to have to acknowledge is that once more, all of the quote unquote experts lied to us and sold us a false bill of goods. And it's just going to create more anger and antipathy out there against all of these people who are trying to tell you what to do. COVID's not going away no matter what we do.
Let me give just a theory, and then we got to get into, the latest on Afghanistan, because it's rare that you're going to be doing a radio show, Clay, and in real time, a country is actually falling apart that the U.S. had been propping up for 20 years. And that is happening, right? So we'll get to that, because it's almost like watching a stock ticker of a collapse, of a stock market
yes.
crash. That's what the news updates on Afghanistan look like right now. And I'm getting tweets and text messages and people I know from government side, people I know from media who cover Afghanistan close. Anyway. One more thing, though. I just want to put this out to you as a thought, Clay. And now, I'm not making a prediction. I'm just putting out an idea. We know the Great Barrington Declaration, which came out roughly, what was it now? A year and a couple of months ago, maybe, or roughly a year ago. The Great Barrington Declaration, with thousands of scientists signed it, said that we should have a focused protection regime of isolate and protect to the greatest degree possible those at risk. Everybody else basically
yes.
is in a let it rip, quarantine when you're sick, and just deal with life phase. That's basically
which is what we normally do.
Well, that's
in America.
That's how we handle yes. flu. That's how we handle other things. If Alex's Israeli thesis, Israeli data thesis here is correct, and mass vaccine, it's not that they don't work, it's that they don't work forever, which is clearly the case when Fauci's saying we're all going to need boosters at some point,
right.
Okay? But if he's right that they fade much faster than anybody anticipated, what we're going to eventually realize is that the only true way through this, meaning it really is not the public health crisis, is through mass naturally acquired herd
everybody has
immunity.
To get it.
Basically, everybody is going to get this thing. And so that they will never accept that. They will never agree that that is the end state conclusion because of what they've put everybody through. But it does seem like that's a possibility now, doesn't it?
It seems like that's the only way for normalcy to truly occur is everybody's going to have to get COVID, basically. But or else you're going to have to get eight boosters.
Wait.
A year forever.
Let me just the other possibility though, and this is actually what I was getting at, is that if you get, you know, 70 to 80% of the U.S. population has had it, then the reservoir for the bouncing around becomes smaller, and then you get to relative herd immunity at least, and that's why, you know, maybe you could say the delay for the seniors that have gotten the vaccine. I mean, there are some ways that this there'll be nuance in this. But yeah, basically naturally acquired immunity may be the thing that is durable and the only way that we actually get out of this. And we're going to find it out the hard way, largely because I think we've rejected 100 years of actual human experience with viruses to get us to this point, which anybody who disagrees with, go read, as I have, some of the histories done about the Spanish influenza pandemic. And we had some of the same arguments and the same, you know, societies for the masking of all humanity. And these people were nuts. Okay. Clay, we promise you all, by the way, one, we're going to get to some of your calls because you'll probably have some lighter thoughts than us. And then also in the third hour.
It's going to get lighter.
We're going to get lighter.
We're going to
take you into a happier place. We'll talk movies. Clay and I will argue about the career of Kevin Costner. It's going to be fun. But Clay, we've got to also just update everybody on this. And we've got the border issue to come up to as well. They're saying Afghanistan right now on verge of complete Taliban takeover is the news ticker on CNN. And on Fox News, they had a headline up there, DOD source, Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, could fall tomorrow. Clay, I mean, it feels like, you know, a few platoons of U.S. troops in this massive country would do a better job of defending it from Taliban takeover than the 300,000 on paper strong Afghan National Army. I mean, you've got to be. This is crazy.
It feels like the fix was in and there was already an agreement. Maybe it's not the case, but for that much of the Afghan government to fall this fast, it feels like behind the scenes they had basically already agreed that the Taliban, as soon as the United States pulled out, that they were not going to have control of the country anymore.
I mean, that's where the intelligence failure component of this comes in, with that this was not, I mean, look, does anyone really think the Biden administration would have committed to this course if they thought that they wouldn't even last till Labor Day no way, right? They clearly didn't see this coming. They clearly didn't make the provisions necessary with knowledge of what they were up against. Massive intelligence failure.
My mind is blown here, Buck. If you start thinking about what's going on with the murder rate, if you think about what's going on with the border, if you think about what's going on with COVID, if you think about what's going on with Afghanistan, this is right now the first 6 months of the Biden administration, the worst presidency almost of any of our lives. I mean, what have they managed? And that doesn't even take into account inflation or all the ridiculous money that they are spending. Everything that Biden is touching is turning to the opposite of gold, which would be a word that we probably can't use on this radio.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, it's like an extension of the old Office Space question. What would you say you do here? And in this case, it's what would you say you do here that isn't terrible? That's what the Biden administration should be asked. What would you say you do that isn't awful when it comes to decision making? But Clay, you want to get some calls here? We got Rack and Stack on Open Line Friday, and then we've got movies to talk about, the baseball game in the Field of Dreams. Clay knows about that stuff. He'll
all
tell
about
us.
The cornfield there.
The cornfields and the baseball and America and all that good stuff. We'll get to it in a moment. But You know, ever since, well, this is actually from Ren in Fairview, Texas, and it's a testimonial. And Ren writes in about rough greens that ever since we started mixing the rough greens to Piper's food, she always finishes it. She loves this product so much. We also noticed that since she started taking rough greens, her fur is fuller, softer, brighter, and more beautiful. Thank you, rough greens. Well, we love those testimonials, Ren, so thank you so much for writing in. You know, Rough Greens is a supplement that I add to my French Bulldog Tallulah's food. Now I've got my brother adding it to Percy's food. We posted a photo of Percy at clayandbuck.com. You can go check it out. Percy's up there now. He's a Pomeranian, great little dude. So we got all our family dogs eating Rough Greens. Rough Greens is absolutely great for your pup, all right? It has vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants. No GMOs or any or hormones or any of that stuff, okay? Rough Greens are great for your dog. And in fact, the folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog's going to love them that they have a special deal for you, our listeners. Go to roughgreens.com/clayandbuck. They're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/clayandbuck. roughgreens.com/clayandbuck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, Friday edition. We're trying not to be the bearers of all bad news, but man, that Alex Berenson data analysis, if America is following down the path of Israel, is going to be cataclysmic in this country, Buck.
Well, I mean, it's cataclysmic for the narrative, right? Because yes. the upside of this that you and I have just been talking about is,
yes,
as weird as it is to say, and we're going to get to a point where basically everybody's immune system has been in contact with this thing one way or another, right?
Natural immunity is going to become the new focus. If Alex Berenson's numbers are right, then getting the vaccination is not going to be really the pathway out of this COVID madness. It's going to be everybody getting natural immunity and being exposed to this virus.
All makes sense when you start to add it up. Let's get to some of the folks out there across the country. We got Chris in Clinton, Kentucky. Chris, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. We have drawn the line in the sand in Hickman County, Kentucky. We've had a very tyrannical governor that keeps issuing mandates that he has had the power stripped away from, and he's had an injunction put on. Now he's got the Kentucky Board of Education doing his dirty work for him, mandating masks in schools, and we've drawn the line, and we have students and teachers have walked out of the school today because the staff or the officials, they were told that they were going to have to leave if they would not wear the mask. And my wife is a kindergarten teacher. She did, as well as my children. And there are
so for people who don't know, thanks for the call, Chris. The governor of Kentucky, Buck, has mandated that everybody has to wear a mask.
In a very red state.
Very red state. Bashir sort of lucked his way into that gubernatorial position. And what's unfortunate is, you know, we've had Rand Paul on this show a lot, and Rand Paul has been one of the best and most outspoken and honest COVID analysts anywhere in government. And instead of being able to listen to him, I think what Chris is hinting at is the mask battles, as we saw here in Tennessee, have become real.
Yeah.
And that is a massive, massive deal.
Let's get Bruce in Orlando, Florida, in the mix here. Bruce, what do you got for us? Hello, Bruce.
No, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Yeah. What do you got?
I'm just turned retirement age. I'm conservative. I'm not a neocon. I travel the state at my job right now, and I listen to conservative radio all day long. But there's no clarity from anybody anywhere. Thank God we got a good governor, Governor Ron in Florida. There's no clarity on what path to take.
How old are you, Bruce? How old are you?
I'm 62 and a half.
How's your weight?
I'm a skinny guy, former athlete. I'm 6 foot, 180.
All right. So what you're hitting at, and I appreciate the call, is there's a lot of conflicting advice out there. What I would say to you, Bruce, is you're 62 and a half. I would say for people who are in that 60 and up range, as we have been saying for a while, Buck, that the vaccine is a good choice, right? The data would reflect that the people who are in the biggest risk are 65 or older. You're close to it, Bruce. If you haven't gotten the vaccine, I think it makes sense personally. That's what I told my parents. You should talk to your doctors.
Yes.
But from us, like Buck and I are not doctors, but from our perspective, I would give all of our listeners the same advice that I would give my parents. And that was, if you're over 65, get the vaccine.
It. Yep. Liz, Columbus, Ohio. We got to hear this one. Liz, what do you got?
Buck and Clay, I called to congratulate you on your unbelievable ratings that you got. I'm reading this article. I don't know. It just popped up and it says, we couldn't be more proud of Clay and Buck. Rush Limbaugh left very big shoes to fill, but their effort to honor his legacy while creating a new program that entertains and informs people across the country is clearly paying off and resonating with listeners. We're excited to see what the future holds for this talented duo. I called because I wanted to congratulate you on your excellent ratings.
Liz. Well, thank you.
Liz is killing it for us there. They put out a press release. I tweeted it out. We appreciate all the positive words, but we appreciate really the loyalty that Rush's audience has paid to us as we have tried to continue to fight the battles that he has fought for so long. And we got some incredible numbers all over the country.
Nielsen
you guys
ratings.
Are responding very favorably to what we are doing, and we are immensely grateful to you
yes,
guys.
Thank
we
you
hope
all.
We have a lot of good days, weeks, and months to come, but the start has been about as good
Clay,
as we could have hoped for.
Clay, can we do the border, and then I promise happy stuff? We'll border and then happy
border
stuff.
Border negativity from Buck,
and then we're going to
have some fun rolling into the weekend with a lot of doom and gloom otherwise out
there. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down with Clay and Buck. We'll get into the border crisis, and then the Field of Dreams happiness coming up.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.